We are your good news station, WYGS, and that was God's Word at Work. And now time for Simply the Gospel. Jim Frisley.
Now, our challenge is to carry over what we were studying, God's Word at Work, and see the gospel in mm-hmm. this. I think that when we think about the sovereign humiliation of God, there is no more clear evidence of this than on the cross of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Remember how disillusioned people were when Christ was hanging on the cross. Even his own disciples wondered what had happened. How could this possibly be? They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that Messiah was hung on the cross. If you remember, on the journey toward the cross, as Jesus was moving toward Jerusalem, he told them, he said, that he would be crucified, he would be handed over, he would be crucified, he would be treated shamelessly. And Peter says, "This will never happen to you." Mm-hmm. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "Get behind me, Satan."
Yeah.
Because that was the way of the cross. The way of the cross is humiliation. And this is God's way. Now, it was through this apparent weakness, the weakness of the Savior, that were delivered. The good news of the gospel is that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. Begins to tell us a story about it's through this cross, through his humiliation, his willingness to be brought down and to be made sin for us, that we become the righteousness of God. It tells us something about his person, because if we can become something we're not through his own humiliation, then we have to be thinking, then there must be something valuable about him, something worthy of our worship and adoration, that though he was rich, he became poor for our sakes. But the cross is not the end of the story. Without the cross, there's no gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
Without the cross, there's no hope for us in any way, shape, or form. Without his humiliation, and that's the ultimate humiliation, where the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, without sin, any sin at all, first of all, would even become incarnate. The Word would become flesh and dwell among us, leaving the glories of heaven to take upon himself the appearance of sinful humanity, yeah, subject to weakness, and like we were, full of the Spirit, yet not taking part of, not reaching within himself and doing what he wanted. Mm. He said, "I came not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me."
Yeah.
And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me. Mm-hmm. Now, how would he lose none? Now, in my mind, we'd be saying, well, he's going to fight for us. He's not going to die. He's going to conquer Rome.
Right.
If we lived in that day and age, he's going to conquer Rome. He's going to lift the oppression of this religious system that's just kept us in bonds and shackles. He's going to take that away. He's going to lead us into a new promised land.
And that's what the Jews of the day thought.
Yeah. We're happy to have, and today we're happy to have a Christ who is that, who's a good teacher. Mm-hmm. Modern man rejects a Christ that has a cross. Mm-hmm. If we can talk about a crossless Christ, people are becoming satisfied. You can be ecumenical if you ignore the cross.
Yeah.
You speak about a Jesus that is concerned for the poor, a Jesus that's concerned for the weak, Jesus that's concerned for the oppressed of the world, Jesus that's concerned for the rights of everyone, no matter who you are, whatever your persuasion, Jesus is more concerned of equity.
Until you get to the cross.
And when you come to the cross, though, now all of a sudden it's like, wait a second.
That's right.
That's offensive.
Yeah.
To this day, the Bible gives us that declaration. It is the cross of Christ is an offense to those who are perishing, because it addresses our greatest need, our greatest problem. The cross of Christ addresses our problem. Our greatest problem is God. It is offensive. It's offensive to think that I need a Savior.
Mm-hmm. Because I can be good enough. I didn't need Jesus to die for me.
That's right. I'm all right. Mm-hmm. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at my life and, you know, I'm speaking as just as people would argue it. I look at my own life and I'm not that bad.
I didn't kill nobody.
I didn't kill anybody. I mean,
how many times have you heard
people,
that?
Oh, you know,
I've never killed anybody.
I've not done things that I get embarrassed when I see in the newspaper what people do. I never did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those people, but even still, those people that did those bad things, you know, they wouldn't be that bad if it wasn't for the things that happened to them.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for their circumstances, you know.
Society.
It's society. And, you know, Jesus wants there to be an improved society. He's that idea, and they don't even speak about him being living, but he's the idea of Jesus. Well, Christ came to die on the cross to save sinners in this way, that on the cross he turned away the wrath of God that was coming to us because he took it.
Yeah.
And on the cross he satisfied the justice of God. The justice of God is this: the soul who sins should die.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who has ever sinned in any way, and I would suggest this, by virtue of the fact of being born, you're born in sin. I don't believe people are born with a clean slate. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Every person needs a Savior. Now, because that's the case, because we're in trouble, Christ came to be that very sin debt that we owed. The sin debt is death. Christ died in our place to those who would believe. This was the rub when Jesus was ministering right at the very start, when he was speaking to Nicodemus at night, that when Nicodemus came to him that night and he says, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus didn't quite comprehend what he's saying. Nicodemus wasn't stupid.
Right. But he never heard anything like that before.
Yeah, never heard anything at all.
Never hearing, never being taught, never, and being as old as Nicodemus was, what would he think?
And besides, he had spent his whole life being good.
Mm-hmm.
He had spent his whole life. Now, if anyone was looking on, mm-hmm, and they're thinking, if Jesus is going, telling this, the most religious man, one of the most religious men in Israel, "You must be born again."
Yeah.
"You won't enter the kingdom of heaven apart from that."
Mm-hmm.
New birth. New birth described in Ezekiel 36, where God says, "I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit." That new birth, a new man. If you're not made a new man, your religion hasn't made you new. Your religion hasn't added one shred of newness to you.
Yeah.
Your religion hasn't taken away the first sin.
Mm-hmm.
You must be born again.
Yeah.
Now, that born again, there is a sense of purification. Jesus said you'd be born of water and of spirit. This work of the Spirit to purify, to wipe away, to wash, forgive, and this, the born of Spirit being a new heart. So this conversion, this regeneration that takes place is by the work of God. And faith receives it with thanksgiving, thanking Him for what He has done. And I think the Bible makes it perfectly clear also, faith is not of ourselves, it's a gift from God. We're saved by grace through faith in the work of Jesus Christ. It's not just simply mentally ascending to these facts, but it is to receive this work of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and the life everlasting that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Israel was accusing, in a sense, they were accusing God of being weak, of God not doing anything, of God not showing us His power, so we'll take this box into the world, and that through that box, it will save us. It will fight for us. It will deliver us. God's not in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And I come back to what we said during the program also, Jim, and that was, and you know, you've heard it. I've heard it. I've felt this way before, that, you know, God needs to do something powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I need God to do a powerful work in my life. Well, what are we usually asking for? when we want God to do something powerful. We're usually thinking, I just want my circumstance to change.
Yeah, this particular place in my life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I want that to change. We need to be able to, we need the Spirit of God to work in our minds to teach us that our greatest need is not a change of circumstance.
God, if you pay off my credit card, just how much, look how much glory you'd receive from that.
Because I could give more money. If you can't give in your poverty, you won't give in your riches. If you can't give him your best service in your weakness, you won't give it to him in your strength.
Man.
I mean, how many times, you know, you heard somebody say, boy, if I had a job, I'd work hard. Yeah. Well, there's plenty of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
If I had this, I'd do this. If I had, well, you may not have, if I had a rocket, I'd go to the moon. Maybe. I don't know if I would. I'd be too afraid. But if my ambition was, I got to have a rocket.
Right.
If I'm going to glorify God, I need a new heart.
Yeah.
And if I'm thinking according to the world, I need to repent.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that if your credit card debt was not, if you had no more credit card debt, if your house was paid off, or if you had a job, things would be different. That's for sure. But your greatest need, my greatest need, is not health, wealth, and happiness. Our greatest need is to know God.
Mm-hmm.
Our greatest need is to have the peace of God ruling over our hearts, in our hearts. That's our greatest need, and it's not, we can't attain that.
Mm-mm.
I can't take a box into battle. I can't say enough prayers. I can only look to Jesus Christ. I can only turn my eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. And it, as that song says so rightly, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I think so oftentimes that we fail to see that the power of God has been demonstrated perfectly. Tell that to the persecuted church that they need something other than Jesus.
Mm.
They'll say you're a liar. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Tell them that, I mean, I just remember whining one day. My wife had made a wonderful pizza. I think I've told this story 1,000 times. She made a great pizza. And I said, where's the breadsticks? We got to have breadsticks with our pizza. And I was serious. I was whining. And she turned to me, she said, grow up. Now, the problem was, you know, I wasn't happy with that good pizza. I wanted more. There is no more. There is not Jesus plus something else,
man.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Not Jesus plus baptism. Not Jesus plus whatever you want to.
Not Jesus plus get rid of my credit cards.
Right.
Not Jesus plus give me a job.
Yeah.
Not Jesus plus give me more.
Yeah.
It's Jesus
only.
That is offensive, Jim.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Because it's highly likely somebody listening right now is saying, well, that's, you know, you're stepping all over me. I believe that God wants me to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
This happens so often in when people are trying to justify certain behavior.
Right.
That's not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe my secret ambition is to have more money. And so I see Jesus as a useful mm-hmm. tool that, because I see other people getting more money. I want more money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the best thing sometimes is for us to not have.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to have a lot more money, but I am convinced the Lord has seen fit to keep me from having it. I mean, in many ways. Number one, it's not his fault. It's not like I'm a financial genius. It's by the very fact that I don't get it, that God has been gracious to keep me protected in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is our only hope. The power of God, the greatest, the only revelation of his ultimate power is seen at the cross of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There and his son died. How could God make him be my sin bearer? But he did it through faith in his blood. As I receive it, my sins are forgiven. Anyone that would receive this gospel, that Christ died for them, that their sins would be taken away, that God would be satisfied, that through faith in his blood you'd be justified before God, that is, where you're no longer condemned because Christ was condemned for you, mm-hmm. and you receive that and believe it, that therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. What greater gift could there possibly be? Eternity awaits, friends. Mm-hmm. A glorious inheritance is yours, being kept in heaven for you through faith in Jesus Christ. The things of this world will pass away, but the treasures which are being stored up in heaven, which I think is the revelation of Jesus Christ full, where we'll see him as he truly is, and we'll be finding ultimate delight and joy and his pleasure forever and ever and ever. That's what I think lies ahead. It's things that we can't even imagine here on earth. Mm-hmm. And we'll wonder, why did I chase after those millions when I could have had Christ? Yeah. And it's a glorious message. If you've believed on the Lord, if you have thought of him today and beheld the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ for the first time and received forgiveness of sins, I would encourage you to call this station. If you've recognized for a first time in a long time that the greatest gift, the greatest display of the power of God is in the cross of Jesus Christ, and you feel refreshed, I'd encourage you to call this station. Tell somebody, anyway, of the goodness of God. Call this station at 812-373-9947, 373-9947. And Jim's here. He can say hello to you and talk to you and pray with you. And if they want a Bible,
you got free Bible. If you need a Bible, feel free to call and we'll get one to you.
That's a blessing. That is such a blessing, yeah. From one of your sponsors,
Jason McCord.
That's fantastic.
Jim, where's Sovereign Christ?
Yeah.
And what time are your services?
All right. If you don't have a church home, we'd encourage you to come and visit us at Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship. We're at 1702 Lawton Avenue, little building right by Scenic Noblet Park, right on the edge of Scenic Noblet Park, and it's starting to look pretty there.
I imagine.
Oh, it's going to even get better as the leaves start coming out.
Unless we get that S-N-O-W.
Mm-hmm. We meet Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., lunch afterward every Sunday, so Lord willing.
You don't have to bring anything, just come.
No, just come. If we don't have enough, somebody will run out and pick up some pizzas, so works pretty good.
Hey, Jim, I do miss George and Cam and everything, but I do enjoy it when it's just me and you, too.
I like our times together, too. Reminds me of the good old days. The Jim and Jim show.
Remember when we were downstairs?
I sure do.
In that studio that was... had a lot to be desired.
It did, and yeah. I think it should have been called the fishbowl because you had that big window there.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I love you, Jim.
Love you too, brother.
And thank the Lord for the listeners of WYGS.
Yeah.
And may the Lord bless you and keep you.
We are your good news station, WYGS.